Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are talking some buy low candidates, some players that are struggling that you might be able to get for a bargain. Let's go!
Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant, to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
He's responsible!
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Today, we are going to be going through some buy low candidates, some players that have struggled to start the season. We're going to be talking about how much I'm worried about each player, what I think kind of a level of play you should be offering in your trades, and what you should expect moving forward, and why their ranking or why their owner might be panicking on these players. I will say again, guys, if you are not already, please go over to Twitter and make sure you guys are following me at BallBoysNBA. Dropping a lot of, I hope, knowledge over on the Twits at the moment, trying to give out as much information, advice as I can over there. It's the easiest and quickest way for you to see all of the good stuff and opinions that I have over there. If there's something that happens, for example, like Damian Lillard going down with apparently a strained calf tonight or today, So, again, to me, that means that Shaden Sharp is definitely an ad in deeper leagues, sometimes even in a 12-team league. I think it might be an okay speculative ad. If not, definitely a watch. He would be the guy that I think benefits the most out of those guys, apart from the guys that are already owned in terms of Anthony Simons, I think is obviously a clear winner if Lillard was to miss time. Hard to know exactly how much time he will miss or if any he'll miss at this stage. It's one of those ones that it could be a couple of weeks, it could be several months. If it turns out to be his Achilles, it could be the whole season. So not great news, but obviously we are still waiting for more information when it comes to Damian Lillard. So all of my instant reactions, again, follow me over on Twitter at BallBoysNBA. But let's get stuck into today's show. We've got the buy low shows. I've got 7 guys here for you guys to consider, see if you can throw out some trades. Look, sometimes they're super obvious, sometimes they're not. And again, the art of the buy low is not only just identifying which players are obviously buy lows, but how to execute them, the narrative you're going to throw out to the manager of those players, what kind of value are you going to give them? Are you going to be packaging a couple of players together? Are you going to be, doing a one-for-one? What's your strategy and how you're going to approach it? See if you can package some of the sell highs, which we're going to go through in the next podcast, and go for the buy lows with those players. lots of different avenues to do it, but we'll talk through them all. So let's get stuck in. First player that we're going to talk about here is Drew Holiday. Now, Drew Holiday, if I just look him up right now, is currently, if I just find him, he's struggled the first couple of games, or at least definitely had a very big struggle in the first game, played better in the second game. This most recent game, he wasn't too bad, although it was still very poor from the field. He's currently the 100th ranked player in fantasy basketball. I'll say this right off the bat here, guys. The rankings at the moment are wacko. If I was to give advice to anyone, if I'm reading out these players that are buy lows and you have them on your team, don't worry about the rankings. There is so much still to go under the bridge. Some teams, players have only played 3 games or 4 games. There is so many wild and wacky things to change so far this season. Steals, percentages, turnovers, all of those things are going to wildly fluctuate the rankings at the moment. So what I want you more so to pay attention to is the actual stats and what they're going to be doing and what they are compared to what you thought they were going to be. So the rankings, whilst Drew, again, he's ranked 100 so far this season. The biggest thing here, he's shooting 31% from the field. Drew is normally a much better field goal percentage guy. In fact, it's one of his strengths as a point guard. Last year, he shot 50% from the field. So you can nearly go ahead and double that. Not quite, but nearly. So 13 points, 1.3 threes, 5.3 rebounds. He's still averaging 7.3 assists, 1.3 steals, and 1.3 blocks. It's literally only the field goal percentage. He's had 2 games so far where he has stunk it up from the field. The first game shot 13%. Yikes, that's not going to happen again. And then the last game today, he shot 27.8%. Still put up 15, 7, and 4 with 2 steals, a 3, and a block. Excellent other numbers, but the field goal percentage is really dragging his numbers down. So for me, he's a pretty textbook buy low. I see him as a pretty safe-ish top 35, top 30 guy. I drafted him in the 3rd round in the Locked On Fantasy Basketball as a guy that I really felt confident in. I like the steals that he provides, the assists. I think he's going to score, high teens, maybe even close to 20 points per night. I think, obviously, the efficiency, he's been a high 40s, sometimes 50% from the field guy as a point guard. That's super valuable. So for me, easy buy low. I'd be very comfortable throwing anyone inside the top 50 at Drew Holiday and see if I can get, you probably don't even need to go that far, because he was a guy that was probably falling into the 40s in some leagues and some drafts as well. So if you want to throw a top 70 guy, a top 65 player, absolutely, I think you could make that work. Let's see if we can find some names in the rankings and players that I think you should be able to execute a buy low. Look, if you throw out someone like, even like a Jalen Brunson, I'd be very happy to trade Jalen Brunson for a Drew Holiday. He's going to give you pretty much the exact same things, except Brunson's not going to give you the steals that a Drew Holiday is going to give you. So that's pretty nice. I would be very happy to throw out a Bojan Bogdanovic. He's currently the 35th ranked player. Don't know if that would actually work, but it could be worth a try. Tyler Hero is someone you could absolutely throw out. He's a name. He scores points. He's put up some big lines so far, so maybe that might get it done. Josh Hart is inside the top 50. Don't know if it's going to happen, but absolutely someone I would pull the trigger on. Scrolling down the list here, some guys. Again, I don't want to reveal my sell high players, but those kind of players, I think absolutely no worries making that trade with a lot of those guys. And again, a lot of the sell high guys, which we will go through in tomorrow's podcast, or maybe even I'll schedule it to later today. I'll see how we go for time. But I think that Drew Holiday is a pretty textbook buy low, and it is literally just the field goal percentage. When that comes up to 45, between 45 and 50%, which I 100% expect it to do, he is someone who's going to rock it up 70 spots in the rankings, and feel pretty confident about that. The next guy we're going to go through here is a guy that I've seen people panicking on Twitter, and even some analysts very are nervous about him. I know that he was a guy that Josh Lloyd was selling. At least he wasn't saying he was a first round guy, and that to me is Karl-Anthony Towns. I think is an easy buy low target at the moment. Now, I guess the question here is how low should you go? Where are we going to see Karl-Anthony Towns rank this season? So, I guess, so if we look at his stat line at the moment, he's the 57th ranked player so far through five games, averaging 35 minutes per game, so minutes are the same as normal, 20 points, 2 threes, 7.5 rebounds, 5 assists, 0.6 steals, 0.2 blocks, 45% from the field, 96 from the line, so and 3.6 turnovers. So I guess the biggest, there's a couple of things here. He is not scoring as much, okay? That's being affected by his field goal percentage, which is down from 53% last year to 45% this season. I expect that that will rise. We were a little concerned about his field goal percentage going down with the increased maybe attempt rate from three this season, but I don't think it's going to go down that far. So from 53%, I would expect it to be in the high 40s at the worst, so 48, 49%. So that can make a bit of a tick up, and that might get a bit closer to maybe 22 to 23 points per game. Okay, so there's a bit of increase from there. I also think the blocks are not going to remain at 0.2. Again, it was something that we potentially expected to drop with Rudy Gobert coming back. So, and then the same with the rebounds as well. So all of these things, I think, have scope to improve. Now, what you can do, I think, and why I think Karl-Anthony Towns is a buy low is because you can roll out the narrative of Rudy Gobert affecting his stats. You can quote someone like a Josh Lloyd, who's obviously a very influential fantasy person out there, and I agree with a lot of his takes. And whilst Karl-Anthony Towns might not be a first-round guy, in terms of the centers and the big guys out there, he's probably still going to be a top two or three guy. There's Joel Embiid. I don't know, do you call Giannis a center? I know he's center eligible on Fantrax, but you've then got Karl-Anthony Towns, and those are your two, they're your two big guys. That like, they're the only guys that are going to be Anthony Davis, maybe, but you know, his injury concerns and free throw issues are there as well. So you're just not going to get big center players that are going to rank inside the top 20, really, this anymore, because there's just not that value in the NBA, especially if you're a team that's maybe punting field goal percentage, punting blocks. Karl-Anthony Towns is very valuable with this ability. He's averaging 5 assists, guys. That's really good. He's averaging 2 threes. He's shooting 96 from the free throw line. These are really, really valuable, and 20-plus points per night. It's really valuable from your center position. So I want to just stress that, like, even though the ranking, he might not rank as a first-round player, his positional eligibility in certain builds, the out-of-position stats that he provides you, when you are punting field goal percentage or you are punting blocks or something like that, these are very, very valuable things to have as that from that position, because you might be out there in a team like me, like the Locked On Fantasy Basketball, relying on Brook Lopez and relying on Santi Aldama, who have gone pretty well, by the way, so far. But if I could have a Karl-Anthony Towns there as my center, and maybe, yes, I have to give up someone, it would be really, really valuable for a team like mine in that situation, because it wouldn't be necessarily as much of a waste of that position compared to others. So I think that he is definitely still someone, if I'm in that kind of a build, I'd be happy to give up someone inside, maybe a top 30, top 35 player. Some guys are panicking out there. Again, let's go through some of the names of the players that I'd be happy to give up to get a Karl-Anthony Towns. Again, I'm trying not to give away some of my sell high candidates for next week, but let's say, okay, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Actually, look, maybe, again, if you're really needy for some of those particular stats, you could do it. And if you were super worried about the shutdown, then Shai is someone that you could throw out there. But, you know, you could beat him. Donovan Mitchell is someone I'd very happily trade for Karl-Anthony Towns. No questions about it. Fred VanVleet is someone who I'd happily trade. I'd happily trade Brook Lopez, that I mentioned before, who's currently the 24th ranked player. Doesn't probably happen, of course, but definitely would be happy to do that. I'd be happy to trade Nikola Vucevic, who's a 29th ranked player, easily, very, very keen to do that. I'd be happy to trade DeMar DeRozan, who's been playing really well. I'd be happy to trade Jaylen Brown, who's the 27th ranked player and is obviously a name recognizable player. All of those kind of guys, that kind of level of talent, I'd be happy to trade for Karl-Anthony Towns or someone who might be panicking. And I have seen it, guys. I have seen a lot of panic on Twitter. And but in saying that, if you do have him, if you were the team that drafted him, remember why you drafted him. You drafted him for the threes, the assists from the center position, the good free throw percentage. He's still going to score you 22, 23 points per night. I think the rebounds will come back up. The blocks, maybe they settle into under a block per game, but they should still be at 0.8, 0.9. The field goal percentage, I expect to not necessarily be a huge negative. It might not be a big positive. It might not be a big source of his value, but it's not going to hurt you. I don't think it's going to be something that really drags his value down. So I think he's still very solid. I still think he's probably, I would put him as a lock as a top 24 player. So he should be at least able to provide you second round value, in my opinion. And just the ability to put that as a center eligible player, there's not many guys that can do it. So for me, I'm still buying low on Karl-Anthony Towns. Speaking of centers, Bam Adebayo is our next sell. Buy low. Now, Bam is currently, if I just wait for his ranking to load here, he is currently the 119th ranked player so far. Sorry, that was totals. 151st ranked player in fantasy basketball. He's averaging 14.6 points, no threes, 8.4 rebounds, 2.8 assists, under a steal, and half a block on 47 and 86% shooting splits with 3.8 turnovers. So the points are well down to what we expected. Last year, he averaged 19. He's, 4.5 points off that at the moment. The rebounds are down a couple. Even the assists are down when they were down last year. The steals are down. Everything's really down for him. The minutes are higher than what they were last season, so there's a few people panicking out there. I think that this is just a case of small sample size at the moment. He's not someone that I think has lost a step. I think he's still a really, really good player. There's not a lot of depth at the front court for this Miami Heat team, so I think they're going to lean on him for heavy minutes, and I still consider him someone to be a top 40 player in fantasy basketball circles, especially if you're a punt threes team, if you're a team that maybe you're punting blocks. He's someone that maybe doesn't get a lot of his value and can fill that center position for you and still give you some decent steals, some rebounds and assists from the center position. So I think that he is still someone that, again, we worried last year with the acquisition of Kyle Lowry that he was going to drop. He was going in the second round last year. I pushed back on that a little bit, but he's still a really good fantasy player. So I view him still as a top 40 player, and I don't really see any reason as to why he would fall out of that. I think from memory, he was like the 39th ranked player last season. But again, you take into account his strengths. You take into account the fact that he's not giving you any threes. So if you're punting that category, he's instantly a top 20 guy in that kind of a build. So he's someone that still has a lot of value. And I think that there is the players that I listed before for Karl-Anthony Towns, maybe outside of someone like a Donovan Mitchell, maybe I wouldn't do that. Maybe someone outside of Fred VanVleet, I wouldn't do that. But your players like Brook Lopez, your players like a Jaylen Brown, I would go as far as to say you could trade someone like a Tyler Hero, which we mentioned before, who's the 40th ranked player. I would trade a Michael Porter Jr., who's shooting really well so far. I mean, he just sat out a game, which is a bit concerning because of his back. Josh Hart, who we've mentioned before. All of these guys, I'd be very happy to trade for a Bam Adebayo. The way I view him has not really changed compared to the preseason. So if you want to go ahead and look at where I had him ranked in the preseason guide, if you're a member at BallBallsNBA.com, that's basically still how I view him this season. So those are a couple of big guys for you. Our next guy is a bit of a hype guy and maybe a bit of a hype guy gone wrong. Cade Cunningham is a buy low for me. Now, Cade was coming into the season with some lofty expectations from fantasy managers. First pick of the draft, coming into his second season, we expected him to take a step up. It was really good to go down the stretch of the season last year. He did put in a good game today, so it might be a little bit harder to do the buy low now than it was yesterday. I hope I'm not a day too late, but I still think there is scope to buy low because of what people were expecting from Cade. He was a second round pick for most people who got him, sometimes a third round pick. I still expect him to be a top 30 guy, especially in a punt turnovers. So his ranking might not ever actually get to that second round level if you're looking at nine category rankings. But a lot of the times when you're having a player like Cade Cunningham, it pushes you into a punt turnovers, a punt field goal percentage build. And in that kind of a build, he is probably a top 20 guy. So it depends, I guess, on what you're doing with your team. But I think that he's still going to do pretty much what we expected. Jaden Ivey's been better than we sort of thought. So maybe does that affect his assists a little bit? They've been down a touch so far this season. He's averaging 6 assists on the year, whereas last season, I guess he was 5.5 last year. So, you know, maybe there was some hope that went up to 7 or 8 assists being the dominant ball handler. But, you know, he's still kind of doing his thing. 20 points per game, maybe you'd hope that would have gone up a bit higher. The threes at 1.6, not incredible. It's the field goal percentage, shooting 40% from the field. I don't think he's going to be that bad. Last year, he was 41.6%. So if we look at that as his absolute floor, you would expect that second year in the NBA, he would be improving on that. I would have expected him to be sort of like a mid-40s guy, 44, 45% from the field. And I think that that can push his points up to closer to that 23, 24 points per night. The threes up over 2 per game. And the free throw percentage is also down slightly as well. And again, he's turning the ball over a lot. But if you've got Cade, I think you just punt that turnovers and you don't really care about that. And that kind of a build, he to me, is still a second-round guy. So I think, again, similar to Bam, I haven't really changed my opinion too much on him. Maybe we were a bit too gung-ho if we were drafting him inside the top 20. I think I had him in my rankings at like 23 or 24. So at the end of that second round, and a lot of the times he was already gone by then. So perhaps we were a bit too excited. I think the reason he was going early a lot of times as well, because there were a few guys in that second round that had legitimate injury concerns. Players like Kawhi Leonard, players like Kyrie Irving, sometimes people chose to pass on him. Anthony Davis, Fred VanVleet scared off a few people as well. So a lot of people chose to draft him over some of those guys that had those injury concerns. Jimmy Butler is another one that comes to mind. And there's some merit to that. But if you were that person and you drafted him because of that reason and you wanted someone a bit more trustworthy, well, then don't trade him away now because you haven't had a chance to use that to your advantage and take the value there where, you know, Kawhi Leonard, there are injury concerns at the moment. Jimmy Butler, you know, is going to be sitting games at some point. So now is not the time to trade Cade if you have him, but a lot of people are a little worried and maybe worried that they made a mistake by going too early on him. So you can maybe use that to your advantage and get him for a top 40 guy or a top 50 guy, I think is definitely within the realms of possibility because, you know, sometimes people might panic and think that, okay, they're not taking a step forward. You can make the most out of that and just say that, hey, Jaden Ivey's coming in, use that narrative. Ivey's taking away his value. He's going to be the ball handler. He's the guy. You know, Cade's going to just do what he did last year. If you want to throw the turnovers in there, say he was like the 90th ranked player last season. Use that in your negotiations. Again, big recommendation for everyone out there. Don't just send off a trade and don't do anything with it. Message the owner. Have a conversation. Ask what they're looking for. Try and get into their head a little bit. Use the narrative to your advantage because I think that's the most effective way to at least give you the best chance to execute these buy lows. And you only really need one really good buy low in a season to really put you in the driver's seat because those big trades can really put you in a good spot for success. You don't need to be buying low on every single guy that struggles at any point in the season, so you only really need one good one. All right, we've got three more to get through here, guys. The next guy here, Alperen Şengün, to me is definitely a buy low. Now, I will preface this one to say that I am a little worried about Alperen Şengün, and I think I have said so thus far, but I do think that he will be better than what he has shown this far. Now, I think from memory, I think I had him around 63, 64 in my rankings at the end of the preseason. I think I might have even had him in the top 60 at one point, dropped him back after some poor performances in the preseason, just checking myself on the hype a little bit. And I don't think he's going to get there. I think all the stuff of him coming off the bench, the fact he's playing just 24 minutes a night so far, the usage hasn't been super high, and he's actually doing... He's the 174th ranked player, and he is actually shooting 58% from the field. So that there's definitely scope for that to come down fairly significantly. So I don't view him the same way anymore. I don't think he's a top 70 guy anymore. I think that you're probably better off viewing him as a top 85 kind of a player, top 90 guy, with the potential upside that he gets to those things if the Rockets eventually figure it out and they stop dicking around and playing Bruno Fernando and Usman Garuba as their starting, or at least give him the 30 minutes that he needs to be fantasy viable. So I think there are a lot of people panicking with him coming off the bench, rightfully so. It's not something we expected when we drafted him. So a lot of people out there will be... I've had people asking me, what are we doing with Şengün? Are we dropping him? So go and throw someone who's just outside the top 100, or a guy who's basically hovering around that 100 sort of mark, or outperforming it, and I think you might be able to get yourself a good bargain. So, and again, I'll go through some examples. Let's have a look at the rankings here of players that I would happily throw out there to trade for Alperen Şengün. I'd be happy to trade Grant Williams for Alperen Şengün. I'd be happy to offer someone like Asante Aldama, 100%. He's the hot sort of name at the moment. He's got limited value, but sign me up for Şengün for Asante Aldama any day of the week. My guy, Trey Murphy, he's been really, really impressive, but throw me Alperen Şengün for Trey Murphy any day of the week. I'd be happy to throw someone out like an Ayodele Sumnu, who's had some hot and cold games. All of those may be like hot names that people have grabbed off the waiver wire or with late round draft picks. I would happily go and trade them for an Alperen Şengün, who I think eventually the Rockets will see the light of day and give him more minutes, give him more usage. But I am obviously revising where I thought he was. So again, not viewing him as a top 60, 65 player anymore. I think he is more of a top 85 to 90 guy, with a little bit of frustration, I think, for the next few weeks. The next guy here, Cam Johnson, he is legitimately getting dropped in leagues. So offer your worst player for Cam Johnson, your two worst players for Cam Johnson. He was a top 100 player last year in under 26 minutes per night. He is now playing good minutes on the Suns. The shots aren't going down. He's typically a very efficient shooter, so that is one of his strengths that is not there at the moment. But let me have a look last year. Yeah, last year, the 94th ranked player in 26.2 minutes. It was two threes. It was the 46% from the field, 86% from the line. Doesn't turn the ball over. He got nearly a steal in that time as well. Decent enough rebounds for that time. So when the guy's going to be playing 30 plus minutes per night, I can pretty much lock him in as a top 100 guy. He's probably going to be, by a 9 category metric, a top 80, top 70 guy. It's boosted by low turnovers and efficient shooting. So if that doesn't really appeal to you, then whatever. But I still think that he's going to be much, much better than this. He's someone that... just hasn't really had a chance to blow up so far this season. He's only had one game where he shot over 47% from the field. The others have all been pretty poor. A couple of them limited, one game limited by foul trouble. One of them where he was sort of hurt and didn't get back onto the court very much and only played 22 minutes. The most recent game, played 33 minutes in that one. And I think that that's very, very encouraging. And I would be very happy to go, if he's on the waiver wire, absolutely scoop him up. If there's someone out there who's got him there, absolutely panicking, I can guarantee you that. So offer your worst or second to worst last player, and I think that you will get yourself a good bargain. So Cam Johnson, to me, is a very achievable buy low candidate. And the last guy here, I'm going to leave this podcast on a bit of a controversial one. And it's almost like a question, just something to think about. And I don't really know how I feel about this guy. There's a lot of unknowns, but as a buy low candidate, Kawhi Leonard could be a really good option. Now, He's currently seeking advice for some stiffness in his knee. There's some reports, I think there was a report from The Athletic that he wanted to play through the stiffness, but the team held him out. So, you know, that makes us think that maybe it's precautionary, but there's a lot of always some weirdness surrounding Kawhi Leonard and his injury rehab. So there is a level of panic out there in the fantasy community, and I understand and can empathize with that one. He's someone that I don't have anywhere personally, but there was obviously the coming off the bench, the minutes restrictions are all extremely, extremely frustrating. I had someone on Twitter today tell me that they were seriously considering a trade for Tobias Harris in exchange for Kawhi Leonard. They had Kawhi, and someone offered them Tobias Harris, and they were very heavily considering it. So this is the kind of level of panic people have. So if you can get Kawhi Leonard, my number one bust candidate for the season, and you can trade him for Kawhi, then 100% you do it. 100%. I would be going out and offering some guys around that 100, around that top 90 mark. It's a gamble. I don't necessarily think that this is like a kind of, he's re-injured himself, he's going to be out for the season. It doesn't seem that way to me. So I think it's a good risk to take. I wouldn't necessarily be offering anyone in the top 50 for him. By no means am I doing that, because there is a lot of downside. There's a lot of headaches that come with Kawhi. But if I have someone who's got no real upside, I'm not really going to miss him on my team. He's got replaceable things like a Tobias Harris, like a Jeremy Grant, or just one of those kind of players that they just do a whole lot of eh, then I would be 100% happy to make the trade and go and grab Kawhi Leonard. He was actually traded in the 30 Deep Dynasty League for the Fantasy Basketball International League that I'm in for a Brandon Ingram, which I thought was a really interesting trade. I think the poll that was out on Twitter today was very lopsided in favor of Brandon Ingram. I ummed and ahed a bit which way I'd prefer. I think in the weekly changes league format that it is, I prefer someone like a Brandon Ingram, just because some weeks when you only have Kawhi Leonard for one or two games with rests and things like that, it can be very, very difficult in that kind of a format. But it's something that I think there is a lot of panic out there, and you can easily capitalize on something like that for sure. So throw out Kyle Kuzma, you know, throw out someone like, I don't know, who had a good game. Caleb Martin had a great game today. Maybe he doesn't get it done. Maybe you throw out someone like a Mikal Bridges if you're in a head-to-head format. You know, some of these kind of real solid, sturdy players that if someone on the other side of things is panicking, they want someone real safe, they just gravitate towards a Tobias Harris, a Mikal Bridges, one of those types, Franz Wagner or something like that. I would be throwing out those kind of players and seeing if I can get a Kawhi. Look, it is a risk, so you have to understand that there is that element of risk when you're making that trade, but I think that at that kind of a price, the risk is 100% worth the reward, because it can really swing the tide of your fantasy season around if you catch the break. So wanted to end on that one there. Let me know what your thoughts are. Are you someone who has Kawhi Leonard on your fantasy team, and what would you accept in a trade for Kawhi just to get rid of the headache? Let me know down in the comments below if you are here on YouTube. Make sure you guys give this video a big old thumbs up, and make sure you guys are subscribed. We recently hit 6,000 subscribers, so thank you so much for everyone who has done that. I do know that a lot of you still watch this and are not subscribed. We're going to be pumping out fantasy content all season long, so make sure you hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification bell so you're going to get all our videos in time to make those decisions, and I will see you guys next time. Laters.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save big.